Today's episode is supported by GiveDirectly, a nonprofit that lets you send money to people living in extreme poverty. You probably grew up hearing that you can't just give money to poor people, but it turns out that view is wrong. Hundreds of studies have shown direct giving can have positive impacts on education, health, and earnings. More importantly, cash lets the people you're trying to help invest in what they need the most. Visit givedirectly.org/WSJ and your first gift will be matched up to $1,000.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, December 15th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Human trips to space reached a record in 2021, but space tourism isn't the only thing that took off this year. New satellites were launched, countries started testing out new ambitions for space stations, and reusable rockets demonstrated their ability to bring down costs. On today's show, WSJ Aerospace reporter Micah Maidenberg joins us to discuss how this banner year for space unfolded and what comes next. That's after these headlines. Apple and Google have been called out by Britain's antitrust regulator for having a, quote, vice-like grip over how people use their mobile devices. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority says the companies determine which software is available in their app stores and make it hard for users to switch to alternate web browsers on their iPhones and Android phones. The agency says that limits choice and innovation and leads to higher prices. It says it's considering possible actions to boost competition. A spokeswoman for Apple says the company faces intense competition in every segment which it operates. A Google spokeswoman says the company is committed to building open platforms that empower customers. Toyota plans to shift more rapidly toward electric vehicles. The Japanese automaker aims to sell 3.5 million battery-powered EVs a year globally and offer 30 EV models by 2030. It also says it'll make its Lexus luxury brand 100% electric by 2035. And speaking of electric vehicles, Harley-Davidson is spinning off its EV unit, LiveWire. The electric motorcycle brand will merge with a special purpose acquisition company, or SPAC, allowing it to go public. Harley-Davidson will hold nearly 3/4 of the new company, which it expects to make around $545 million from the transaction. LiveWire plans to use the money for product development and growing its manufacturing and distribution. All right, coming up, it's been a tremendous year for the space industry, but there's still a lot more to come. We'll discuss it after the break.
Don't miss the limited episode podcast series, Sustainably Speaking, featuring trailblazing leaders discussing how to improve sustainability and address climate change through innovation. Join Joshua Baca from America's Plastic Makers for these vital discussions with policymakers, academics, and industry pioneers about partnerships and policies that support advancements to meet this urgent challenge. Subscribe today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
On Saturday, Jeff Bezos' space company, Blue Origin, took 6 more passengers to the edge of space and back.
Mission Control has confirmed New Shepard has cleared the tower and is on its way to space. We can hear it here from the
Among deck. Those on board was the former NFL player and Good Morning America co-host, Michael Strahan. After landing, he posted a video on Twitter.
It was unbelievable. It's hard to even describe it. It's going to take a little bit to process it, but it couldn't have gone better.
The other passengers included Laura Shepherd Churchley. She's the daughter of Alan Shepherd, the first American to reach space and the namesake of Blue Origin's spacecraft. There were also 4 paying customers on board. The trip caps off a remarkable year for human spaceflight. It was the 13th trip to carry people to space this year. Now, we've talked a lot on this show about space travel and tourism, but there's a lot more going on up there right now, and there's a lot more in the works. Joining us to discuss this is our aerospace reporter, Micah Maidenberg. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I think I've lost track of the number of times you have come on the show this year to discuss space.
Well, it's been a busy year for space, a really busy year on a lot of different metrics. It's been a really robust year for space company fundraising, for public listings, and also for human spaceflight.
All right, so let's talk about this latest human spaceflight. We had Blue Origin over the weekend sent up 6 passengers. 4 of them were paying. I think I ask you this every time. Do we know how much they paid?
No, we still do not know that number. The marker for sort of suborbital space tourism flights has been set by Virgin Galactic, one of the other companies sort of in this realm, at least $450,000 a seat. So we know that. We don't know specifically what Blue Origin is charging.
But more broadly, you know, how much is it costing people to go up into space these days? Obviously, we're hearing more about space tourism. Do we have a sense of what this is costing individuals and when those prices might come down?
I mean, it's definitely an experience, a trip, a tourist endeavor that is dominated by, you know, wealthier people at the moment. Flights are costly, like I said, and ticket prices down. You know, some of the analysts and executives I've talked to said you're going to need just more spacecraft, for one, and more sort of spaceports to sort of launch them from. Some of that is coming. You know, for example, there's a company called Sierra Space that recently raised, you know, more than $1 billion that, you know, it plans to use in part to develop a reusable spacecraft that's designed to sort of land like a commercial jet. And, you know, Sierra sees space tourism as a big part of their future.
Okay, so we need more spacecraft to make space tourism cheap. But this year was a really significant year for the number of human spaceflights. There were 13. It doesn't seem like that large of a number. So how significant is that?
Yeah, it is significant. It is a record. I mean, first of all, when you combine orbital flights and suborbital flights, you know, the latter being kind of to the edge of space, you get to that 13 number. And that's the most ever since, you know, 1961, according to, you know, the data that we've been analyzing. So, you know, it's a busy year, and a lot of folks in the industry sort of expect more launches, more human spaceflight to come next year and after that. You know, of course, it's not just sort of the U.S.-based companies like Blue Origin or SpaceX or Virgin Galactic that are pursuing this. It's, you know, the Chinese government, the Russian government are also, you know, sending people into space.
Let's talk about China and Russia, because I feel like often we hear about SpaceX and Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin. What are China and Russia doing when it comes to space?
So China and Russia also have really active national space programs. You know, China has developed its own space station in orbit. They've, you know, docked spacecraft with that facility and taken astronauts on board. And of course, Russia has its own sort of rocketry program. The Roscosmos, the Russian Space Agency, you know, has sent crew and cargo to the current International Space Station, where U.S. and European and Japanese astronauts also have worked. You know, Russia also handles tourism trips. This month, they sent a Japanese billionaire to the International Space Station.
What about some of the other private companies that have been in this industry for a while? I mean, Boeing comes to mind. How do they fit into this picture?
Yeah, well, Boeing's year in space was a challenging one in some ways. You know, the company was hoping to test its Starliner space capsule. It's a crew capsule that's meant to dock with the International Space Station. They were contracted by NASA to sort of develop this and build it out so NASA could have another way to transport astronauts to the space station in addition to SpaceX's competing, you know, crew capsule, which is called Dragon. So, you know, Boeing's Starliner has faced delays. Boeing has a big deadline sort of coming up early next year when NASA tests out what's called the Space Launch System. It's essentially a massive rocket that's meant to, you know, be able to get deeper into space, including to the moon. And NASA plans to test that in February. You know, Boeing is the main contractor, you know, for that space system.
Right. So what about NASA? You know, it used to be the leader for U.S. space flights. What role is it playing these days?
NASA's role in space in the U.S. is still really, really important. NASA is the one that is organizing a lot of launches, a number of scientific missions, and also, you know, providing a major customer, so to speak, for these private U.S. space companies. NASA is planning to launch later this month the James Webb Telescope, which is meant as the successor to the Hubble Telescope. NASA has also, you know, been operating various kinds of scientific experiments on the International Space Station. But the agency's role in space is shifting a little bit. NASA is now sort of increasingly looking to the private sector in the U.S. to sort of provide it with services instead of having, you know, contractors build it spacecraft that it owns and sort of operates.
So with the market the way it is, are we starting to see any sort of shakeout in terms of these are going to be the tourism companies, these are going to be, you know, the NASA providers, these are going to be the big governments playing a role? Is the space industry starting to take a new form?
It's definitely starting to take a new form. You know, like another sort of example of that is just regarding space stations. NASA recently provided three different teams of space companies with sort of development funding to start building out what are expected to be privately owned and operated space stations. Of course, right now and for the last, you know, number of years, like NASA and other national space agencies have run and operated the International Space Station. But in the future, you know, private entities are expected to run these space stations. So a lot of the space companies sort of have their hands in a number of different end markets. You know, Blue Origin, for example, is conducting these tourism flights, but it's also working on, you know, as part of a team to develop one of the private space stations. SpaceX is providing, you know, crew and cargo runs to the International Space Station, you know, for NASA, but they're also launching satellites for its own sort of, you know, broadband internet service. So there's still a lot of kind of like crisscrossing currents, you know, with different companies reaching into different, you know, parts of the space market.
All right. That's our reporter, Micah Maidenberg. Thanks for coming back on the show, Micah.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.